you don't have to come from Auschwitz to have those same feelings. You know, we can just put so much weight on ourselves from all of the stuff that bothers us that it takes away all of our joy. I saw a lot of the same thinking that they were talking about. So I liked it. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff in there, and it wasn't as difficult to watch. You know, I thought it would be tough, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it's kind of a positive thing, really.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, there's no order of difficulty in miracles. There's no order of difficulty in illusions.
Yeah.
All of the, whether it's Auschwitz or anything that takes your happiness, happiness is binary. Mm-hmm. Which means it's either on or off.
Yeah.
Present or not. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference between I'm feeling kind of blue versus I'm feeling really blue versus I'm just blue to some, I got to pick a number now, versus I'm happy and I feel good today. You know, I feel kind of gentle. It's quite binary.
And most of the people that came from there, they couldn't let go of, and I relate to this because it's kind of a conversation that Julie and I had one night, but they couldn't let go of the death of all of these people to be able to forgive, because it would be disingenuous to all of the people that died. And that's why they were having this argument about what makes you think that they're not telling you not to. You're healing yourself. They're not telling you not to feel better, not to have joy. No.
What would they
want? Your mother, who was killed, would she want you not to have joy? And but she couldn't let go of it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked at that and I thought, wow, you know, there's the guilt threat. If I were to allow myself joy and happiness and to start singing and skipping and, you know, maybe having fun, you know, people see the number written on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
I would be now guilty for not carrying my share of the pain.
Right.
Survivor's guilt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other interesting thing, and I'm going to ruin it for you, sorry about that.
This is for somebody else in here, but I believe I remember it vaguely from a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked the whole story through, so.
Yeah. Was when she was, because that conversation she was having with a friend was one of the core things in the movie for me. But when she was saying, do you think that if I forgive, I forget? Forgetting has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
That I forgive so I can heal myself.
Yes.
I still remember everything. In fact, she was probably more of a proponent for going around and keeping the memories of Auschwitz alive for people that of younger generations that would forget.
Yes.
So she was, you know, but she didn't carry it with her.
It's really the feeling, the burden, the self-attack of forgiveness she wanted to be done with. It wasn't doing her any good, and she did the math and says, not doing me or anybody any good.
Right.
But you're right. She didn't deny. Mm-hmm. She didn't forget. That's why I say it's kind of half true, you know, it's sort of half the work. But you have to do half of this. You definitely have to approach forgiveness from there is a better way. That I'm not a victim to these feelings. I'm not a victim to sorrow, anger, pity, self-worth, or that one. I'm not a victim to that. I really have the power to change. And then the other piece we would talk about with Course in Miracles. But for her, she got relief and started living a better life and wanted to share it with others.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness was returning. And she wasn't lying.
No. Yeah, she was really genuine, she just wanted to feel better.
Yeah, and she got it. She had a wake-up. She had an awakening. It says, I don't have to hurt myself like this. They've hurt me enough. I've lived my life in pain around this. I don't have to do it anymore. I still have to live with these memories. I'm still going to hang on to them and keep my museum in shape. But you know, it's the difference between pain and suffering. And we're not trying to deny the pain.
Mm-hmm.
for trying to release the suffering. That's the insight part. Good. You must begin there.
Yeah.
Good. I don't know how we ever get through any of these paragraphs. Oh, that's huge.
That's my filler.
So, A Course in Miracles has this interesting little sentence buried in it. And it says, to forget your past is to be reborn. Of course, right? Every problem that you can imagine is based on what you think about it, which all comes from your past. This burden of judgment, your anxieties, any fears you have is because you think you understand what's happening and where it's going to go, or could or should or would go, or I deserve it to go. Doesn't matter. All of that, where you just suddenly drop out from another planet. Or you were, you know, I forget this, there is a medical condition of the mind where your short-term memory goes.
Alzheimer's.
It's a type of Alzheimer's.
I mean, I was thinking of my mother, because she had that.
Yeah, that's where it does go in Alzheimer's, yeah. And there are a couple of syndromes too, probably. But, you know, you can't make new memories. And so for those people, terrible things can happen on Tuesday, and they fall asleep eventually, and then Wednesday morning, it's like, well, isn't this a pretty day? They've forgotten the problem, therefore it does not exist because they are not thinking about it. Ever been to the restaurant on Highway 1 called the Penthe? You read the back of the menu? You know what the Penthe is? Back in the menu is a couple paragraphs on what the Penthe is, this Highway 1 restaurant. And the Penthe is this little solution that the apothecary makes up. And what had happened is that the king and queen had a beautiful kingdom so long ago, and off to war they went to defend it, king and prince, and left the queen behind. King dies in battle. Sons, prince die in battle. News comes back. He says, I'm sorry, but... You know, to the queen, I'm sorry, but you know, the king's gone, and so is your son. The poor queen, she's just so distraught. She's so you know, sad, depressed by this. Day after day, after sun, after moon, and she just gets more and more depressed. And meanwhile, the kingdom, decisions need to be made. You know, we got to reroute this water. You know, we got to do something about these crops. Do we store? How many seeds do we store? How many seeds do we plant? You know, does somebody know about this? You know, and the queen needs to make decisions to keep the kingdom going. Not today, she says, not today. I just can't face it today. I'm too heart heavy, having lost the loves of my life. So time goes by, times go by, the kingdom just gets more ratted. And then finally, the medicine man, the apothecary, mixes up a little Nepenthe. That'll do. Puts it in her morning tea. What it does is it wipes out your memory, and the way it's said in this menu is perfectly said. The words are in this book too. It says, "It induces forgetfulness to surcease sorrow." It'd be a good bumper sticker. The queen wakes up the next morning. Oh, her mind has been wiped. It's just another beautiful day. People are lined up. Well, let's see. Seeds. Well, you know, looks like the weather the way it is, the way it was last year. This many seeds plant, this many seeds keep. Good. Thank you. Next. And she just operated. And she had a really, really good day. She had a free day. Kingdom was helped. She was helped. Everything was okay. Because of this Nepenthe. This little drug. Of Course in Miracles says... To forget your past is to be reborn. In your worst situation, the worst problem, even a car wreck, or a cancer, or the relationship issue, or what have you. What if, right then, you just blinked your eye and whoop, Your past was gone. You go,
I wonder if Costco's open yet.
Right? I mean, like, that's, you know, I got, you know, I forgot what to worry about, which is, by the way, chapter 30 or 31, Course in Miracles has you go through an exercise where you actually take a look at how you are. Bring your problems with you to these 7 steps. And as you take an honest look of how you are right now, and one of the steps, like step 4, is, you know, I even forgotten what I was worrying about. Just allowing you to release, release, release. Great way to discover your own empowerment, which is always what we're talking about in this class. Self-empowerment. Another way to say it, Course in Miracles, the book. Self-empowerment. So, let's take a look at one of the words in A Course in Miracles that's been redefined from the way I learned it growing up. Big word, if you're Catholic, really big words. Atonement. That's got a little stink on it for me. Atonement.
I looked it up once in the encyclopedia for get a simple definition. See, yeah. That way. Freaking out. Well, what religion you want to go? This one, this one, this one, this. And I was like, how do you know what it is? Is this too complicated? Made it too complex and complicated.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, look at that.
Yeah.
It was insane.
So we should look at it just together so that when you see it pop up in the book, it doesn't have all this baggage for you. Because it, like the other words that are redefined, like the F word has been redefined in here, that's forgiveness. Have been redefined. If you're using the F word, forgiveness, in the dictionary, you're absolutely not studying A Course in Miracles. Spelled the same way, but you know darn well we're here to free your mind, not enslave it with another weight of attack. So, atonement. That's
the
also.
S words also are like atonement. Sin and salvation.
Yeah. Indeed.
I started just looking up. I just put the question in and then go, what's the definition by ACIM?
Nice.
And so there, boom, it goes.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, the S word. Mm-hmm. Yep, got the A word, the S word, the F word.
Yeah, because salvation is redeeming you from sin.
Mm-hmm.
But salvation in A Course in Miracles is erasing the illusion of separation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's different to me.
Mm-hmm. And oh, thank God, it turns out whether it's salvation or forgiveness or atonement, it's all the same. Course in Miracles gets simpler and simpler the more you embrace it. It's got a very simple message. Says it a lot of different ways so we can corral different minds and where you are in your life and how much you're willing to absorb. It'll say it in many, many different ways. But I've been rewarded. The more I study it, the more I see it's really very, very seriously saying the same message so that I can deeply, deeply get it and be free. Atonement is no different. So, let's just spend a few minutes thinking about that word. If you are a Course in Miracles student, I would like you to think about it, what you think Course in Miracles, what you know. If you know it, great. If you have an idea or a wish, because a lot of people, like the word forgiveness is another great example. We went through this just last week and the week before. People really didn't quite own that word. I didn't. For years I studied this book. I didn't own the word forgiveness like the book is trying to teach me. And there's a reason for that. It turns out a brilliant teaching reason for that in the book. But nonetheless, atonement's another one. Bless you. So let's crack it open tonight. If you are a Course in Miracles student, I don't need a memorized phrase. I would like that you, how you would say it from A Course in Miracles perspective of what atonement is. And if you don't have that, tell me what your life has told you it means, or what you think it means, or what you feel it means. Let's surround this word, atonement. So as usual, when we talk about this word atonement, just let yourself be really honest, and just let it be for tonight, okay? What does this word mean to you tonight? We're going to blow it open. If I have anything to say about it, and this course has anything to say about it, we'll probably be blowing it open and doing some major freedom around this word that often brings less than freedom. But just be honest so you can mine the roots of it. You could, if there's something that is heavy about the atonement, it's like a weed in the garden. If you just crack off the top and you leave the roots and the stalk and everything, why, it's still there. What's more is it quietly in the background grows to be stronger, to pop up more. So let's reach down all the way to the roots on this word tonight. For you. This is for you now. When I say atonement, what do you feel? Atonement. No matter what your definition is, what is the purpose? The goal of atonement? Big David, you got a word?
Undo.
Undo. Atone. Undo. Nice. Sharon?
A burden.
Say again?
A burden.
A burden. Nice, yes. That's how it feels. Yeah. New girl? Mad, yeah?
Pay for.
Pay for, exactly.
Painful?
Pay for.
Pay for.
Pam?
I think of something someone said a long time ago, like, at one meant to be at one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Julie?
Returning home.
Returning home. Well,
connect.
Marcia.
Release.
Stefan.
And replacing my false thoughts with the truth.
Uh huh. Nice. Kim.
In tune with or in alignment with?
Uh huh. Atonement. Uh huh. Get in line with it. David?
Rejoin.
To rejoin. Yeah, not connected, gonna rejoin. Go back and rejoin. Jeff?
Harmony.
Harmony. Michaeline?
Praise. Forgiveness is an effect of how many is the result.
Of? Yes, nice. Forgiveness is the effect. Atonement is the result. Miley.
Settling.
Interesting. It's nice because all we're doing is undoing. You settle, you stop trying to go any other way but what already is. Good variety, huh? All different levels of understanding and honesty and reaching to this idea of atonement.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
This week,
I was thinking I need to look up Tony.
Really?
And I didn't get around to it. So I was delighted when you said, okay, we're going to get this. How many times have I looked up a Tony? How many sections have I read a Tony? But I still knew I didn't get it. But then you're going, okay, so what is it? So I went, okay, then, and take whatever comes. And for me, it was like this, the settling, it started with just everything in me started to relax and hearing the word.
Interesting.
Because I couldn't search for a definition. I just had to feel what was happening. It was almost like this big ship coming down and settling on a foundation. And light emanating from there. So then it was like salvation has a process for me. The salvation is taking me clearing up sin and the mistakes of illusion and forgiving all the things.
But all the disharmony.
The atonement is like this finite. For me, in this moment of listening to your question, it was like this big landing. Literally, like a ship.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of gravity, big word. Yeah.
So that's the settling.
I see.
Settling, yeah.
Oh, you're accepting this movement.
This movement.
This movement that you're in mind, where you're settling at getting rid of sin and choosing your freedom. You're settling now with the new Miley. Mm-hmm. The truth?
Is settling. The truth? I hope so.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
If you're really settling, it's truth. If you're up and angry and worried, it's not true.
Yeah, well, it's just this moment, so thank you.
Nice. Good. Rick, would you just give us a definition of atonement the best you can? What does it mean?
At one moment.
Go for that. Wendy, what, I say atonement. What does that do to you? What does that mean, atonement?
Just holding on
How do you feel, though?
It's peaceful.
Is it peaceful to you?
It's no separation, just forgiveness and oneness.
See, I was raised, like New Girl told us, atonement means to pay. It means to pay for it. Yeah. You're going to atone for what you've done, how you've been, and who you're being in the body and separate from God. You're going to pay for that. So it's heavy.
Yeah, that was religion. Religion was always like, pay for it, dude.
Yeah.
I was a kid, they bring out the roller and smack my hand.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to pay for sins, atonement. You've done things that are unforgivable. They're bad, bad. And we're going to pay or correct. See, that's why I asked you, no matter what atonement you come up with, where does it go? And it goes to, well, if you say these Hail Marys and you go to church and you memorize these pamphlets on Sunday and show up for choir practice a few times for the altar boy duty, then we will consider your sins have been atoned and you're good. You're good to go. We will unburden you. You will have earned forgiveness. That's how I was raised. Atonement had all the, it was like a contract you need to go fulfill now and fix and so
painful. Oh yeah, that was mine. Mm-hmm. That was
the price.
Ours was never quite paid for. It was paid for, but there was a little bit of a stain left.
Yeah, I was still a sinner.
Oh yeah. God, yeah.
That was no longer gonna be punished.
I mean, you're good. But you did do it.
Yep.
you're better at it now, but you know.
You're one of those.
Yeah.
You're one of those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, the miracle says, you know, no matter how good that can get, you know, absolution from the Pope himself.
Still did it.
It could happen again.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And we're going to put you right back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
With that other stuff.
And then there's the other stuff that you never admitted.
And you guys were all like all these awesome like frequencies. God, this sucks. It's like our words suck.
Oh no, it's just because we have.
No, I get why.
No, because when I walked in this room, that would have been my answer too. It's just you know, having come to a different understanding of the words. All
I get you. I mean, I know we'll get the two. It's like God, this sucks.
Right. There is a better way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, why is Course in Miracles a positive term?
It's free.
What's the good news from a Course in Miracles perspective on it?
Didn't even happen. Because
it's the natural state.
Returning to your natural state.
There's nothing to pay for. There's nothing to be forgiven. There's no sin.
There's no sin. Nothing to pay for. Nothing to be forgiven because there is no sin. That's right.
It's that past that didn't happen.
Yes. The past that didn't happen that you would hold over yourself.
It's like that you said when I block it.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. That's how we flog ourselves, is with the past and the guilt and the fear about the future. This is where we beat ourselves up. But Course in Miracles says, trying to break this to you gently, but there's no past, time, you're not even the body that you think you are. Understand, you really believe it. But this is not where your truth is, it's not where love is. This is not where your freedom is. Even as you continue to carry around a body and play that part, you can change your mind and awaken. This is what enlightenment is. Will you awaken right now with whatever situation you got going? We're not changing the world. We're changing your mind about the world. And we're also changing your mind about what you are. That's why this book has 1,300 pages, because it just tries to, sometimes very starkly and sometimes more gently, show you, let you feel it, show you again, have you show yourself, give you a chance to challenge yourself of whether you really need to be unhappy about X. Whether attack is really a valuable tool. Whether, do you have a choice? Exactly. Whether fear is wise or useful. It's what this book is for. Is to get you in touch with fear, for example. And for me, the good news is that, well, that is a choice.
Fear is the classic thing that people, because it's so deeply, that's the main thing that's been imprinted, conditioned, socialized, trained, indoctrinated into us. Fear. That's the control.
That's the ego.
Yes.
And so to believe that we can, get out of fear is one thing. To believe that we have a technique that can truly release us from fear, for me, is another big step.
Yes.
It's a big hurdle.
Yes.
Can this really do it?
Yes.
It's like, what can, because that's clearly the dilemma. That's clearly the issue.
Indeed. Which is why it's really important, why the workbook has these exercises that will have you bring you in through the back door. It doesn't say, lesson number one, forgive everybody and everything everywhere right now for all time. That's not lesson one. It's like so unrealistic, it's like, what a joke. Somebody walk up to you and say, stop crying. Just stop crying. You'd be better. I'm crying because I don't feel better.
You're getting angry.
Yeah, that's right. So can is there a tool, is there a way, is it even possible for you to be released from the fear addiction, the fear compulsion?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Fear indoctrination.
Yes, there is.
Who? Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm. Those choices.
How do you know?
Because you've already, when you experience it once, then you know that it's just thoughts. That's all they are. Mm-hmm.
And they're all at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Julie? That is miracle principle number one. And as it turns out, lesson number one. You can't see it necessarily right away. But after a while, you get into, like, you know, lesson, got even not that far, 30, four or so, and you start to realize, oh my God, I'm actually unburdening myself as I read this darn thing. I feel better. And nothing happened outside. I still have my same problems, but I feel better about them. Wait a minute. What's really going on here?
It collapses on itself. Like, yes. It just becomes obvious.
That's how you know.
Because it's easier.
Because it's easier. Mm. Yep. Peace has come. The light has come. And then it's just not as dark as it was. And nothing happened outside. Right, Michaeline? All the suffering, all the hours of suffering and punishment and thoughts that...
Those meaningless thoughts.
Meaningless thoughts showed you a meaningless world and practiced that and then brought a bunch of fear along with it. And then the spell was broken.
And then it kept coming up.
Kept coming up. Yes.
Until I recognized that it really didn't happen.
Recognize the thoughts then that kept it as though it did happen.
It, like it was real, but it really wasn't.
You had the miracle. Miracle in this book is just shift in perception. Mm-hmm. You had the idea that maybe all this isn't happening big victim-y like I thought it was. Maybe I'm not really forced to be crushed by this world. But then things came up, and you still got... And that's where forgiveness' job is. Forgiveness is the release. Now that you've got some clue, you don't have to suffer when pain comes up. Now you've got the ability to let go of the pattern thoughts that bring you down, make you lose sleep, make you eat that extra bowl of ice cream.
We don't get there unless we experience.
Unless you experience, Julie. It's just thoughts and words in another book. Just another book. But when you actually experience the relief of all that dark weight, Wendy, by your own thoughts, is it time for a new addiction? Can I do this more? And up the staircase you go, relieving yourself of your own chains. Absolutely. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. That's what this book does. Relieve yourself of your own chains.
Can you share like something around that too? The things that we cycle in, like I have this great series of thoughts that like to rise up and overpower me again. And there's moments, like sometimes there's even months where I feel free of those thoughts and I think like, oh my God, I'm finally free. And I try to hold on to that freedom. And there's a fear there that I realized recently, like wanting to believe that those thoughts will never come back, like actually traps me in a fear. And just recently it was this, like the thoughts rose up again and they also like passed much more quickly than usual. And I let them go and I realized like, oh wow, they just go away. Like they might come mm-hmm. and I want to resist them coming because mm-hmm. I want to be free forever. Mm-hmm. But if I just let them come and let them sort of pass, mm-hmm. that now that I know that they can come and they'll just pass again with, and I don't have to do anything, it's like I'm now finally not afraid of them coming back. Mm-hmm. That realization when I was actually talking to Misako and it like just hit me. I'm like, oh my gosh, for like 2 years that I've been working this, I've been like resisting the return because I wanted to be free so bad, and now it's like realizing that, embracing that when they come back it will be okay.
Yes.
Is what might finally set me free.
And when they come back under those circumstances, they don't stay as long.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you're entertaining it, and off they go. Mm-hmm. It's way, way different mm-hmm. when you are controlling them more than they're controlling mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. Like a teeter-totter balance. Very good, Julie. Yeah. Resist. If you resist it, it persists. It actually makes it stronger. Mm-hmm. By being afraid of it, you give it power. Just like that. So Beautiful. Well done. You've let go of the fear of even the thought coming back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. That's scrubbing it out. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. Good, good, good. Turn to page 336 in the workbook. Just commenting on what Julie was discussing. It's so important. For us to make this movement, you know, and yes, it's, atonement is called, you know, you break it apart, at one meant to make yourself one. At, be at one. Instead of separate, competing, struggling. Definitely there's this passage of living through the old separate thoughts, the battle, and then releasing and releasing them. Just having a more calm day, a little more peace. Peace affords joy and understanding. No peace, no joy, no understanding, no love. Look at paragraph 1 on page 336. David, you want to read that for, or are you there, Monty? You want to read it for us?
Yeah. Lesson 181, I trust my brothers who are one with me.
And read for us 336, the introduction. And just
I'm sorry. Okay, introduction.
Just paragraph 1.
Okay. Our next few lessons make a special point of firming up your willingness to make your weak commitment strong.
Pretty graceful.
Should I read that from you?
Yeah, yeah.
Our next few lessons make a special point of firming up your willingness to make your weak commitment strong. Your scattered goals blend into one intent. You are not asked for total dedication all the time as yet, but you are asked to practice now in order to attain the sense of peace such unified commitment will bestow, if only intermittently. It is experiencing this that makes it sure that you will give your total willingness to following the way the Course sets forth.
Just like that. Try it, you'll like it.
Mikey liked it.
Huh?
Mikey liked it.
Yeah, Mikey liked it. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's go to page 400 for tonight's reading.
The other section of the book, it starts over three times.
Oh, in the beginning.
Yeah, in the text, in the front of the book.
Okay. What page?
Page 400. And we're doing a section of the book where we're starting to get a handle on the idea of healing and the idea of consistency in your mind. Your mind, and we're using the word faith to describe devotion, to describe trust in the better way. The pain's still there, see? Hurts. But in order for you to not suffer, which actually makes it worse, you know it does. Your own worrying about it. I don't know. What percentage of the problem is that? Mm-hmm. The longer since the injury, whatever it is, whether it's a relationship or a physical injury, the longer you get from it in time, the more your part is the contributor to the pain. The suffering, the worrying, the regret. The guilt, the fear. The poor me. Oh, it's all made up. It's yet another fantasy. We got to bust the ego, because this is how it makes the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. Even just you with your little pain. Just you with your little problem that nobody even knows about. But you thinking about it with faithlessness, if you remember last week, last 2 weeks, without the power of the truth instilled, ego will rule your mind, victimhood will rule your mind, and the pain will grow deeper, and the suffering will give the pain teeth and reality. And pretty soon you will start listening to the pain in the body as indicating how serious a problem you have. If it's even just worry in your gut, right? If you start listening to that, you, oh my God, I knew this was bad because I feel bad. How much worse can it get? And now your mind is contributing, as the ego would have you do, an endarkenment. An endarkenment of your life. And an heaviness of your life. And the more you think about how difficult this is, the heavier it gets, right? Isn't there a direct equation here? You worry about it, it gets worse. But, as Julie pointed out, and we've all learned with the Course in Miracles, reality that way leaks. That's my word for it. I'm not sure it really works, you know. But you can, it's not quite as solid math as it seems at first. If you ever break the cycle of your worry, of your pain, of your fear, for example, my example is when you're driving a car and you're worrying about it, worrying about it, worrying about it, and a ball rolls out on the street right in front of your car, brakes, was there a kid? What's up? Or the brake lights go on, and you're going too fast, suddenly it's like all about managing your car to a safe stop. In moments like that, all that worry is gone, see? Mm-hmm. And you can catch yourself actually forgetting to worry for a few moments while you handle, you know, spilling the milk, or the handle on the Trader Joe's bag started to rip, so you reached around underneath before you lost all your groceries. Everybody's been through these situations. I want you to start noticing them now. I want you to start noticing how present you are all through your day. All sorts of things, even while you're having a really shitty day. Little things like that, you actually stop worrying. This is proof that you can choose otherwise. It's proof. Now, of course, in Miracles would have you do this with exercises where you sit down nice and comfortable with your tea and lead you through it. But it's really the same as you discovering that your mind actually can choose not to worry, not to fear. Now, these circumstances will, you know, force that upon you, but if you just witness that you were free for a moment, you can now choose. Yes?
So, this week, I was trying to meditate in the morning, and I was, you know, couldn't turn anything off.
Yes.
And so then I was going through Facebook and I watched a video of Fred Astaire. And that completely, that was my meditation, was watching the video of Fred Astaire. It just emptied my brain for 2 minutes, or as long as it was.
Yeah.
It was great. I was so grateful, you know, for that silly video. And then one of Michael Jackson, I watched a couple of his things after that, and it just took me out of my brain, you know, this stuff that goes on.
That's right. Get out of that tail-chasing cycle. The dog chasing his tail goes around in a circle. Around. Yep.
Well, when you mentioned ripping bag, it made me think about, like, all the thrill sports and the life-threatening things that I do that take my mind off of everything.
Yeah.
It's like, you just don't have a choice at that point. Or the comedy, I love that.
Yep.
Same thing, it's just you're out of your head.
Yes. Yes, so we, you have to recognize that you do have this choice. And it happens really early in the workbook lessons. You know, that's why it kind of drags you through some of the depressing thoughts about victimhood. And then has you actually try freedom for a second. And you discover, because you can do it, even just for an instant, is all it takes to recognize light when everything's so dark. It just takes a second. A little glimpse of light, and the darker it is, the less light you need to actually feel yourself going up, and then the gig is up. Okay, the darkness is its power is cracked. There's a little crack now, and if you're really into it, especially if you have Course in Miracles, where you've got a couple of pages, like page 446, like page 28, like page 660, like if you have a couple of favorite lessons, you know how to just crack it open and follow the light, and or Fred Astaire on YouTube. And step out of it. Take a few breaths. These kind of experiences are what spiritual awakenings are. They are when self-empowerment is recognized. And you actually take a step up on your own now. Not from someplace outside. You don't get awakened from the outside. No, right? Never. It's you becoming you again. These are the empowering experiences that are the stair steps leading you away from darkness and back into your empowerment. And that staircase goes up. As you can tell from our definition of atonement, all the way around the room, each of us are a different place on the staircase. Okay, now, doing the work. It's so nice to be light, enlightened, you know, whether it's weight or it's light, however you want to look at it, just better to be less weight or lighter. It's to smile a little more, to laugh a little more, is better than to cry a little more, to be dark a little more. The work is done, very practically. Catching your mind. Exercising your power of choice. The Course says it's the one power you left yourself with when you came here to decide to live in a separate body on the planet. It is the power of choice. The tool we use is the F word of A Course in Miracles. look at page six, maybe, in the front of the book, Miracle Principle 25. Maybe it's 4, actually. First person to get there, read this Miracle Principle 25.
Miracles are a part of interlocking chain of forgiveness, which when completed is the atonement. Atonement works all the time and in all the dimensions of time.
Like that. They're part of an interlocking chain of forgiveness, of releasing events. And interlock, you release, release. Oh, yeah, you know, I don't have to feel so shitty about this when it happens. I'm just going to let it go again.
Okay. Sure.
And then I'm going to do it again as soon as, next time I get contracted, I'm going to release again. Next time. And that interlocking chain, if you break the chain, well, that's where you lose. You fall off the wagon. And you get all pissed and you don't sleep well and you scream and yell, take your drug or whatever it is you do when you're not choosing peace. That's breaking the chain. Well, of Course in Miracles, it'll take you through enough examples if you do the workbook lesson all through the day that you know what? You really can. It's up to you now. If you're not happy, it's because you chose to not be peaceful. You chose not happiness. It's not that you didn't get to choose happiness, okay? You chose not happiness. In other words, you chose unhappiness, and that's what you got. And as you gave that to yourself, you received it. That's the law of mind. As you give, you receive. If you ever find yourself not happy, for any reason, just remember that you chose unhappiness somehow. You chose not to love somehow. Time to put the chain back together and release the stinking thinking. The quicker the better. The quicker the better. I mean, after all, if you want the smile, not the frown. Okay? So, Biblical Principle 25 reminds us. It says, an interlocking chain of forgiveness, one after the other, after the other, after the other. What happens is you find yourself relieved of the burden of this problem. Mm-hmm. If you consistently forgive and release, you don't get dragged back into it, you find yourself relieved of the weight of the problem. And you find yourself, literally, back in control, right? No longer a victim. That's why it's atonement. Somebody here said that, kind of restoring yourself to yourself. You're letting go of your small self, the wrong thinking. And atonement is returning to right mindedness.
Can I
yes?
just, I always kind of go here when, to me, it sounds like it's oversimplified.
Good.
Because I don't think it's that simple.
Good.
But, and I'm not saying you're oversimplifying it, I'm just saying, you know, we sometimes the darkness is so dark.
Yes.
It's not like you can just make a decision to change your mind and be in forgiveness and come out of it. We have to go through a certain amount of darkness until we can, whatever it takes, get that release. And whether that's finally, like for me, I can tell you that it's not for lack of wanting to. When I go into these dark places, I have every deep-hearted meaning and intention of wanting to turn everything over to Holy Spirit, have a release, and man, I fight it like crazy. I fight it and I hang on to it and until I'm ready to let go of it. And whatever that is, usually I'm tired of it. I just am tired. I'm done. Or some significant event happens that takes me away from it. Or I'm able to somehow get into gratitude. Or I practice. I have to practice. I was talking to Marcia last weekend about practicing being genuine. I mean, things that you didn't think about. Or for me, I didn't think about having to practice my behavior before. But practicing my behavior the way that I want my behavior to be. I mean, these are things that I have to think about now. I didn't think I was going to have to think about release and forgiveness as an action. And because when you get in those really dark places,
yes.
You know, it's hard to get out if you're not practicing different things to do that.
Yes, 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 absolutely. The darker it is, okay, the more of a hold the darkness has on you, the suffering has on you, the less available are techniques or practices, mm-hmm. if you will. You know, yeah, agreed. If it's not so dark, you can just jump onto your lesson of the day, shake it off. You can read any page of the book. Another good way.
But and it's not to say that the darkness is a bad thing.
Yes.
And that's where I get stuck sometimes, mm-hmm. because I'll get afraid that the darkness is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. When in fact, I'm just birthing into something else. But I don't mm-hmm. recognize that all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's frightening. And mm-hmm. then that kind of pulls me back even deeper.
Mm-hmm. Like what Julie said about not being afraid of literally the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But also figuratively a darkness, in Julie's case, it's both. Because the fear of the fear is another layer of an onion that your ego would use to keep you fragile and vulnerable. Having a fear of the fear. You bet. So you do never deny what you think is true. The only way you can forgive something is to actually look at it and then let it go. Grab it, hold it up, then you can release it. Jeff?
When I was listening to Kim talk, I was flashing on like the word atonement, and I was feeling like your beliefs are that you have to pay. Like there might be some beliefs along those lines that you have a You know, there is release available, it's free to put, but you have there's a price to pay, and that's the...
Look at the very next miracle principle.
Can I say one thing about the one you just did?
Sure, please.
Because I was really struck by the fact that it says in that first sentence that miracles are an interlocking chain of forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
which when completed mm-hmm. is the atonement.
Yes.
It's when this cycle of forgiveness is completed
yes.
that we get to atonement.
Not before.
Yes.
Right.
Well, that's one of the, you're right.
I mean, that just struck me.
Well, you know what? That's a reminder that this is an all or nothing game.
Right, goes back to the total.
Total.
Look at the next sentence.
You can't be a little bit pregnant, or just a little bit dead. These are some more all or nothing games. And truth and illusion do not overlap at all. One little bit of the illusion of the world held to be true, it has its little string tied around your heart, as small as it might be. And a little tug on that, and off you go, away from your peace. It's an all or nothing game here. And oh, thank God, you know. I think everybody here hopes and believes that enlightenment has this power to heal yourself from being a separate, suffering thing, disconnected from all this glorious power that makes the flowers and the sunrise. Or peace to occur. Or spirit. That somehow you would get access to the power of spirit, empowering you to be free. All the time, like any healing would be, free from the sickness. That's why healing and faith are paired up in this section. It is your faith that will heal you. It's your mind that makes you sick. No matter what situation seems to be occurring to you, it's your thoughts about it that give it sickness and suffering and pain at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good thoughts. Okay, look at Miracle Principle 26. First person there, please read it. Kim, you ready?
Miracles represent freedom from fear. Atoning means undoing. The undoing of fear is an essential part of the atonement value of miracles.
Okay, let's unpack that a little bit, considering what Kim was just talking about. What we're talking about is you being so dark, you don't have access to these pretty words. Right? It's a tough one. It's a tough day. Okay? Miracles represent freedom from fear. Miracle is a correction somewhere in your mind that the world does not have hold over you, even though it may feel that way. The miracle is that you actually control the world's effect on you by your thinking. You know it, but just your feeling underneath it all, right? The weight's too much. But somewhere you have turned this thing upside down at some point in your life and discovered how powerful your own mind is. And you've tripped out on the effects that followed when you relieved the pressure a little bit for yourself and you rose. That's what I'm talking about. That's a holy instant. And you want to always, always now live in the light of your own healing, no matter what that moment was. We build on that as we go through our lives, as we go up the staircase and awaken. Miracles mean that you are free from fear, even if you're not acting like it.
Because it's not about behavior.
Right? Not about behavior. It's about understanding
right.
truth from false. It's about you releasing you from suffering.
I think I missed something. How can you be free from fear and not act like it?
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing.
because you're thinking, I read Course in Miracles, it says I'm not a body, and I kind of like that idea. It says I'm free, and I like that idea too. It even says that I'm Siramane as God created me, and I just love that. So mentally, you got it. But your conviction in your heart is you're sad, you're depressed, you're angry,
principle
you're afraid. What?
Principle number 22.
Which is?
Miracles are associated with fear only because of the belief that darkness can hide. You believe that what your physical eyes cannot see does not exist. This leads to a denial of spiritual sight.
Believing that this power is still there. Even though you know you could be free of fear. But you're not acting like it.
But then you're actually not free of fear.
You're actually not. Even though you know in your head you could be, should be, and yet you're not behaving like it.
Well, all the darkness is fear, isn't it?
It is. It's a belief in fear. It's following fear. It's practicing fear.
Its core is fear. It's all fear.
Yep, fear.
But fear doesn't really exist, so...
Ego.
Yeah.
There we go. The my mind can say...
It exists here.
Yeah, that's what you said. My mind can say, hey, my intellectually...
Yes, yes.
There's no... Fear does not really exist.
Right.
It's not... It's an illusion.
Point to fear. Anybody, can you draw
there's
a picture
no
of fear?
Form,
anybody?
No form to
your cell phone? Do you have any pictures of your cell phone of fear? Can you just whip one out and show me? Anybody? That could be laughter. You do
oh,
that.
You're right.
That could be a huge laugh. Without being there, you know what? Fear actually doesn't exist. Fine. But you all know how it feels, right? Mm-hmm. Being free from fear, this is part, for me, this is part of enlightenment. This journey of awakening is to be free from that victimhood of fear. That stinking thinking of fear. Even though you know that your mind is powerful enough not to do it, you still feel it. See, that's why Course in Miracles says, well, three times really, but, you know, readiness is not mastery. Mm. Readiness is not mastery.
That's what I was thinking when Stefan was talking. It's like he says he gets it intellectually, but I mean, like, those are just words, you know?
Right. 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 So
and
many.
The explanation of how can there not be fear in reality, but I'm still acting as if there were. Yes.
That's on. Your finger's on it.
Free your mind. The rest will follow.
That's why we need a guide to unwrap, to empower you completely.
And practice.
Every time you practice this trio, miracle, forgiveness, holy instant, every time you practice that, you are reborn again with a little more power. You're stacking your experience toward freedom every time you do it. This is why miracles represent a release from fear. How? Because a miracle is a shift in perception, not a tweak in the world, not a changing of the facts, not a better story that says, well, this should have happened to me because. It's not a miracle. That's a new source of fear. No. Miracles represent a release from fear because they show you that the essential shift in perception from material to spiritual, from darkness to light, from time-based to timeless, in other words, being here now, getting present. This is more true than all the burdens that the world puts on your situations involving money, small L love, your body and all its situation. Wait. Not in the present and nowhere near the release that would actually allow you to be free, even as you go through the body, the money issues, the love issues.
Your fear was real. I'd never escape it.
Correct.
And that's if why our suffering is our teacher.
It's a really good point. Don't forget it. Yes. So now everything, fear, suffering, with the guidance of what we call the Holy Spirit, you will be shown how to release the very thing that's holding you down. What you need in a moment of real stress is a miracle. The miracle is a shift in perception. That's what you need at that moment. And it's waiting right there behind the issue you're having. Holy Spirit is a part of your mind that is still connected to the truth. How do you, now, back to Kim's situation, when it's really dark and it's really weighted and you're just, how the beep do you get relief? How do you get relief in the darkest of dark moments?
You could ask Holy Spirit to help you see things differently.
That work for you, Kim?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes it does, yep, right? But what if it's, and that's good, what if it's darker than that? You think the hell with the Holy Spirit. If my Holy Spirit were so strong, I wouldn't be in a situation like this. Does that ever happen?
Well, anybody? I absolutely know that I'm denying the ability to let Holy Spirit in when that's happening. I mean, that's very apparent to me.
But it's up, right? It's up. It's weighted. It's filling your mind. It's freaking dark. It's freaking heavy.
Yeah, it's very dark.
And so, you don't even have the energy to go say those words.
But I have hope. It's not like I...
yeah?
Because I mean, I understand the process.
Yes?
And I know I'm going to... I know there's... It's not... This is not forever.
Good.
I know... Mm-hmm. I know this is illusion.
Yes? Yes?
It... And even knowing all of that, the darkness, I mean, I still have to walk through stuff that takes a lot longer than I wish it would.
Yes.
I mean, weeks, months, years.
Yes.
And but what I know is I keep holding on to...
Okay, can I ask you, what you just said true?
What?
Weeks, months, years.
It could take weeks, months, years.
It could.
The beliefs again.
Does it need to?
No. No, but it just
ever?
Sometimes it does.
Okay, that's fine.
You know?
I just want to check in. I just want to check about what your truth is now. It does, but
oh.
it used to need it. In other words, you had to wait through it before. You had no choice. In fact, I think before you start A Course in Miracles, you didn't know if it would ever end.
Well, there's various levels of darkness. I mean, I was in a really, really dark place when I came here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's various levels of that. I still see as needing to walk through things.
Yes.
And it just, it's just a matter of putting one foot in front of the other and walking through it.
Yes.
What gets me through it a lot of the times is knowing. And there's a certain amount of peace within the darkness. It's just knowing that within me,
yes,
I have everything I need.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't have to worry about it. And that's what gets me through it.
Yes.
Doesn't make it only a little bit easier. But sometimes I have not mastered the way of being able to say, I choose peace over this.
Yes, yes.
I haven't mastered that yet.
Okay,
I
very
wish
well.
I could.
Very well. I don't know, anybody else chime in. My personal experience is that the darknesses that seem to just come along with being in a body, their ability to grip me shortened.
Yes.
Until you see it go by, just like...
Yes, so you watch it go by as if a train you didn't get on.
Right.
I used to get on it and ride it for a while. And then, oh God, if it's going slow enough, I can jump off, I'm going to do it now. Or the train ran out of gas. That's how it used to be.
Yeah. When I was much younger, I remember going to bed really angry after a fight with my boyfriend. And then I woke up the next morning and I felt great. It's like, wow, life is good. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be pissed off. And I worked up this mad again. And now it's like it's the opposite. I was really angry about something last night, and I thought, I just don't want to go there. I don't want to feel that. I don't want to be that.
Yes.
I'm not going to.
Yes.
And it felt really good to be able to let it go. I mean, I know there's an action I need to take, but and that it served its purpose, and it was just gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking a span of 30 years here.
Well, like Kim's, you know, Kim says it. Sometimes these takes time, but the healing is going. Every time you exercise the self-empowerment, you take a step up, and you get to keep that. And for me, the way it showed up is shorter and shorter durations, because I would see through to the end of the problem sooner. And then pretty soon I would see I don't have to actually feel the problem while I was going through it. I can just deal with the issue without having it weigh me down, which I know is going to be over anyway. And then pretty soon I just had no tolerance for being fear, having fear. I mean, it was private. Nobody else could see it anyway, so I don't want to see it. Nobody has to see it. You know what? Forget this fear thing. Let's just get this done.
I go, there it is again. Like, there it is, because it's like a gut feeling, like
yes.
That flash of panic, here it is again.
Yes.
It's kind of, but
yes.
It's going, oh, there it is again. It becomes...
Now, that flash of panic, the flash of panic in the early days... Strong.
Yeah.
I would actually get, you know, nervous, or maybe a little sweat, I don't know, hair in the back of your neck, some of these things, right? Your gut burns, you know, all these other things that would just happen, and you got to deal with it, right? Those are the early days.
And you dwell, too.
And then you would dwell sometime, you'd circle it, and your suffering would get bigger and heavier, blah, blah, blah. Right? Yep. Meaningless thoughts. Now, they go back to the lessons, and for me, it was like, boy, I got to get out of this, because I know this is just me slowing my life down. I just used the book and I just read any page. It didn't matter what page. Just pick the next page and read it out loud. And that was my form of meditation, to wash it out of my head. And my heart would start to lighten up as I read the words. And I heard the authority and the love and the consistency in these words. And I just felt comforted. I felt like a big hug, you know? Jesus would give me a big hug. You know what, kid? Come with me. I'll show you a better way. Oh my God. Walk right out of it. But the bottom line was self-empowerment. That I was self-disempowering with the worry thoughts, and now I was self-empowered, not by doing anything, by not doing that, by not doing the worrying. And then the power of my comfort returned, my peace returned. And that cycle over and over and over of shift in perception about what's going on, letting go of the thought, which is forgiveness, and then recognizing, hey, wait a minute, this is okay. That's the holy instant. That changed my reality and changed my victimhood entirely. I'm a lot more free today. I'm really free today.
Yes.
Now, I just want to, before we move on, I just want to get to the darkest moments, okay? The darkest freaking moments when nothing seems to be working. What do you do? And I'll tell you. It's all through the book. This is how you would discover
nothing
this. I didn't tell you this now.
No thinking.
You probably already know this. The real no thinking, as it says many times, and so do all sorts of other spiritual paths all over the planet for a long time, sit still. Don't lay down. That's where the ego can get you and put you into a dream state and give you more worries. Don't do that, okay? Sit up. Take some breaths. Sit still, and just for a few seconds, get really, really still. Take all those thoughts and say, I'll resume to you guys in just a second. I'm just going to sit still before I get all worked up even more. This is the key that the ego would not have you discover. Because everybody, no matter how depressed or angry you are, you have the ability not to do. You don't have the ability to do something different. Okay, I understand. All you got is worry. All you got is pain. All you got is the stinking thinking. I understand. However, you cannot do just for a second. You can do nothing. All you got to do is just look between your breaths. All you got to do is look between the anger thoughts. All you got to do... We've got a method here we called, you know, your little garden. We went through a huge big exercise there to have a place where you've built in your mind where you're not there. Go there. Okay? Shakes it all off. Sit and just check out what happens between your breaths. or whatever, you know, whatever your way is to get absolutely still, absolutely centered, absolutely into the present moment between the seconds. Do you hear the clock? Do you hear click, click, click? Just focus on the in-between the click. All it takes, anything like this, snaps you out of the meaningless thought spiral. It's really mechanical. Fear and worry is very mechanical. And it's self-fulfilling prophecy. So you break it and your self-empowerment will start to return. It's the essential bottom, you know, it's like hitting bottom spiritually. And, you know, eventually you get so depressed that you don't get out of bed or whatever it is, you're ready to kill yourself. And I focus on people really, really low and like that. You know, they don't care. They don't care. But there's a simplicity there that they've never felt. Once they finally really don't care, then they're like, well, maybe I could care a little. And it turns around. But you have to get, you know.
But there's also the thing that we have to bring the darkest places to the light in order to release them.
Yes, yes.
Would you agree that that's a principle in this book?
Yes.
Okay. So to me, this you brought this to me a couple weeks ago, Kim, when you were talking about your process and sharing with the dark and the heaviness and the fresh feeling stuck. And because I had so palpably the sensation that these were things that were coming up that were unacceptable to your idea of you or your idea of reality too. And that unbearableness is like it can take you over, take you down.
Yes.
Take you down. Yes. And for me, it's remembering that process that there are dark layers, and I've been going through it this month since being back in this more active form of study.
Mm-hmm.
It's like seeing places that I didn't realize I had that aren't pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And the process appears to me to be that the awareness is the little chink. You know what opihi are?
What?
Opihi, the things that stick on coral. You know, they're like a shell, and they clamp on coral. We, in Hawaii, we eat them, and you have to slip a knife under the opihi to pop it off, because the second it feels the knife, it'll clamp down, you can never get in. And so to me, these dark places are very much like a pihi, where you have to slide the knife of awareness in, you know, to catch it. And then you can lift it up, and then you get, then it's off the rock, and it's no longer part of your identity.
Nice.
That's what I've been going through in this last month.
Yeah. Way to get the knife underneath it is not to attack it. I like that, because it just grabs harder.
Right.
You slip it in. Boom. Right?
And once you've attacked it and didn't slip it in,
yeah,
you have to leave it alone for a while.
To come back. Yeah, that's excellent. I love this. It's a great analogy for how our stinking thinking can grab on even tighter. This is why when you come to, if you've learned this practice, I mean, if you haven't, I mean, maybe everybody here already has meditation, you just got to sit still and do freaking nothing. There is a relief. To me, it's like charging the batteries now. Even if I have nothing I think I'm worrying about, just to get so still. Then I say, well, can I undo just a little more? Yeah, I can. Can I undo just a little more?
Mm-hmm.
That feels really good. You know what? I'm just going to undo now a little more. Bottom falls out. All the apples roll across the floor. Basket's empty. It's really easy. But this is a very, very, very simple task. Just so you can get control again and pop that thing right off with a very, very gentle effort of not doing. That's why it says in Miracle Principle 26, it's an undoing, not a doing. This whole book is about undoing, not doing anything. Because the truth is true, love is true, joy is true. You are a happiness machine. And if you don't do anything else, it just runs happiness track. It will look for something fun to do if you hadn't so many things to worry about. It's what you would be doing. You know it's true. You know it's true. Okay, turn to page 55 in the back of the book. Page 55 in the back of the book. So remember, atonement in A Course in Miracles is moving your mind out of the devotion to separation to the devotion to oneness. However you want to do it, that's what the tools are about. And tonight we're reading about healing and faith. Remember, A Course in Miracles, sickness is of the mind. You may witness it with the body, but really, suffering is way more sick than the pain that causes it. Turns out.
We're at the very back of the book.
Oh yeah, very back of the book. There's only a fraction there. The pages start over again and again. So we're at the very back of the book, and depending on what version you have, this one, the top of the page says Manual for Teachers. At the top of the page, all that's a section of the book. And you're going to page 55. So I think, Michaeline, I think you're up. You read first paragraph one.
Oh.
And it is, how are healing and atonement related?
Healing and atonement are not related. They are identical.
Okay, full stop. What? Wow. I thought I could get rid of my sciatica with this book. I have to do this atonement thing? Just, clue what we're doing here. Please continue.
There is no order of difficulty in miracles because there are no degrees of atonement. It is the one complete concept possible in this world because it is the source of a wholly unified perception.
Which really rhymes with what Miley was talking about. She says, wait a minute, after all this interlocking chain of forgiveness, then you get the atonement? Yep. Because then it's a complete thought. Then there's no a fish hook left to tug on your heart and pull you right out of love back into fear. I don't want that little hook in there. Everybody, can you look at Miley for a moment? Could you look at her, please? We don't know all the things going on in her life with her kids and her family and her job and who knows what else. But I want to make a prayer right now that as you go through this work, you release your mind. You release all the hooks that could possibly pull you out of the peace and happiness and simplicity. Not one hook should remain on your heart. Let that be true. Let that happen. So that whatever comes up next, you can go right through it without being yanked back to fear by one little hook on her heart. Everybody, please allow that for her.
Yes.
That all the hooks are released, every single one of them, and her heart is complete and easy forever. Amen.
Okay.
Isn't it easy to give that to her?
Easy.
How about the rest of you? Would you give it to yourself? It's what we're doing with this material. We're unhooking all the little claims the ego has on your heart. We talk about the mind a lot here, okay? Because that's the easy way to get into your heart. At the end of the day, it's an experience of heart. Yes.
I've been thinking a lot lately about the hook analogy and all the little bait that we go after.
Yeah.
The bait of fear, the bait of loss, or the bait of victimhood that feels good in some way or it's just familiar.
Yeah.
Just a habit.
Yeah.
But there's always a hook in every piece of bait.
Yeah.
And once you realize there's a hook in the bait, fuck it. I'm not going for that bait.
It's a bait.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, man, brother.
It don't work for me no more. And then it just gets getting slowly a little better. And then when I feel the bait getting taken, I'm slowly just rewriting that script just a little bit at a time, every single time. Mm-hmm. And getting a little bit faster of swimming away.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have this thought? I actually had a picture of a fish chasing a hook. I'll send it to you. Okay, exact same thought. I was like, man.
In Dr. Seuss?
I don't know. It was an actual picture of a fish. You know, some fisherman. Is there a Dr. Seuss thing?
There's a hook with the worm hanging in the fish is sitting looking back.
Excellent.
Know, there's a term that I always think about. It comes out of AA, and it's freedom from the bondage of self. Mm-hmm. And we're so caught in our own chains. And it was very much like that video. She's so caught in the prison of her past, you know. And it's freedom from the bondage of self. We're the ones that we do this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Jeff's, you know, I don't know about this, what your experience, Jeff, but it sounds like exactly my experience was, which is I can tell when I'm getting distracted.
Totally.
And I'm starting to chase the bait. Oh. It's not what I really want. I know there's a hook in there. It's going to just be a drain and a draw on me. You know what? I'm swimming the other way. I just want to catch myself before I go down the road of trying to unhook the hook out of my jaw. I'm more interested in that. And the Course in Miracles talks about that as in the back of the book. And in Lesson 133, if you want to read the whole way, the process through, separating the valuable from the valueless. You start to learn what's valuable for you. In other words, what makes your heart go? Instead of just your mind? There's a big difference. Big difference. 133 lays it out. It says, here's what's worth pursuing, if you just wanted to know. I'm going to just tell you. It's a little harsh, okay? So don't start with that. 133.
Lesson
133. Yeah, don't start with that one. You throw the book out the window. Okay, Michael, why don't you finish this paragraph here, Mahatma?
Partial atonement is a meaningless idea, just as special areas of hell in heaven are inconceivable. Accept atonement and you are healed. Atonement is the word of God. Accept his word and what remains to make sickness possible. I should rephrase that. Accept his word and what remains to make sickness possible. Accept his word, and every miracle has been accomplished. To forgive is to heal. The teacher of God has taken accepting the atonement for himself as his only function. What is there, then, he cannot heal? What miracle can be withheld from him? That's beautiful.
I just, while we're here, just flip a couple of pages to page 61. And real quick, look at paragraph 6. Mm-hmm. Jeff, belt that paragraph out for us, will you please?
The emphasis of this course always remains the same. It is at the moment that complete salvation is offered.
It's at this moment.
It is at this moment.
Right now.
That complete, yes, this moment. Complete salvation is offered to you. It is at this moment that you can accept it. This is still your one responsibility. Atonement might be equated with total escape from the past and total lack of interest in the future. Heaven is here.
Okay, look at that sentence, Kim. Atonement might be equated with a total escape from the past and total lack of interest in the future. In other words, can you just be here now? Can you just get present for a second? That's the door. That's door A. That's the door through which you would escape all of the burdens of the world. Because the burdens of the world are in the past and they're in the future. There's no burden right now. It's the key. It's the really quick key. Please continue.
Heaven is here. There is nowhere else. Heaven is now. There is no other time. No teaching that does not lead to this. No teaching that does not lead to this is of concern to God's teachers. All beliefs will point to this if properly interpreted. In this sense, it can be said that their truth lies in their usefulness. All beliefs that lead to progress should be honored. This is the sole criterion for the course requires. This course requires no more than this is necessary.
Now, is that practical or what? Mm-hmm. Here's your chosen guide saying, look, whatever you've got that leads to progress, whatever you've got that alights to you the value on your path, use that. And let's go. I don't care what it is. We're going to take steps together now. Up, up, up the staircase. Up, enlightenment. Lighter, lighter, lighter. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. Okay, now, to close it off, let's go back and look at our paragraph tonight on page 400. We've spent all night talking about this. We're going to get back to work here and just finish off. Okay, paragraph 9. Okay? And it says, to have faith is to heal, and that's very much like the atonement. You remember Micah 4:26? Atonement means release from fear. If you were free from fear, what would your life be like then? As you approach whatever. No more fear. Oh, that would be good. Well, the fact is, that would be healed. Okay? It's the sign that you've accepted the atonement for yourself. Paragraph 9 on page 400.
Thank you, sir.
And we're therefore, because you'd accept it for yourself, share it. So you always share what's true and real for you. When you really own it, when you really, really have it, whether it's time, you have a whole bunch of time. I'll help you move. You know what? I got all day. In fact, I'm waiting around. I'll just help you move. What, paint the garage door? Fine. I got so much time, I know what to do. I'd rather paint your garage door than sit here and stare and watch the grass grow. What if you had peace? A lot of peace. What if you had, you really, really, really had the idea that you were an extension of all that is and there was no mistake about it? Which means no mistake about you. Even with your particular situation, what if you knew that you were at one with all? That you were this little aspect. You know, a flower has a lot of petals, right? You're just one of the petals. Be that petal. And you're like, okay, that's cool. That's what I am. I'm just going to do that. Without argument now, without fear, that there's one better or less than you. How simple would your life be if you just were doing, honestly, what you're doing, without argument? Simple thought. Okay? But that's how you're going to heal, even though your body's still sick. You know, so the body still has whatever issues it has. Mm-hmm. We're healing the mind. The body, the script is written. You're already, for example, a woman. Are you going to change that? Don't give me all this surgery thing we've been talking about. You see, the script is written that how tall you are. Even if you change your sex, you're still only so tall. You're not going to be 6'8". Well, maybe. Right? That script's written, okay? A lot more is written than just your height and your gender. Imagine not fighting with any of it. You don't fight with your gender anymore. You don't fight with your height anymore. You fight with your age a whole bunch. Let's just see what else we can not fight about. With your own self, right? Release. That's forgiveness. The miracle is, I am what I am. Release is, I am what I am. This is, I want you to, you could take that all the way. Healing your mind. Okay? Now, sentence 3. Big word now. By faith. Faith means you don't know. Faith means you don't know, but you're willing to pursue the belief as though it were totally known. In other words, you're going to trust it. Okay? Faith is, you will offer the gift of freedom from the past. Freedom from the past, which you received. You do not use anything your brother has done before to condemn him now. Releasing the past means forget the past. You freely choose to overlook his errors. Overlook now. Overlook, overlook, overlook. That's what forgiveness will do. Looking past all barriers between yourself and your brother. Seeing them as one. Now, seeing the barriers as one. All the little different flavors of your problem are now seen as one barrier. Seeing seeing all the barriers as one barrier to being present, to being trusting, to now being honest. To being honest about one thing or honest about everything? The Course says you can't be wholly committed sometimes. That's one of the sentences in this book.
Yeah. It reminds me of there's only ever one problem.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I find great comfort when we're talking about this and when I'm in the moment too. It's like that, I always remember that little willingness. It's like the trap door that you can just go whoosh and just flush it. Like just,
yes.
I think that's so, that's what I'm better at remembering that.
Yes.
Having done that many
right.
times.
Yep.
And this also makes me think of, you mentioned a flower, and it's like when you think of nature, the oak tree sprout isn't going, what if I'm not going to be big enough? What if I'm not good enough? What if I don't have enough water next week? And what about that stupid whiny tree over there? Shut up. That bird's on that tree, not on my tree. I'm not, why isn't it on, what? And it's like, this is the only thing on the planet that is so fucked that we keep getting in this tornado and it's our own doing. And if we just shut up and do, like Michael Merdad says, this, who's a course person, and he talks about a seagull. And he says, you know, he's just out there and he's just going for it. He's just flying. And everyone, and he's just, there's no, I hope I can do this. Holy shit, you know, he's just doing it. And then every once in a while there's a little correction. So he does a little, but the rest is B.
Yes.
And it's just easier.
And the seagull can't know what it's like to soar with wings completely outstretched without doing it.
Right.
You remember the story we told about the eagle and the little baby eagle? The little baby eagle's in the nest. And he kicks out of his egg, right? And the first thing he gets is worm dangled in front of him. Whoa, cool! That looks good. He eats it and says, mmm, yummy. And then every couple hours, mom comes back and puts another worm in his mouth. He's like, this is all right. And he's got some other eagles next to little baby, little eaglets next to him. They kind of warm and fuzzy. He nuzzles up, waits for the next worm by nuzzling up and pulling some heat from his brother. Yeah, life is good in the nest. I like it. It's perfect even. And mom comes back one day and just no worm. In fact, what there is a big, you know, the beak comes down, the claw comes underneath, and is lifting you up. Oh, what's up, mom? Something good? Something better than worms, maybe? Well, I've noticed that these things that I've got are sticking out of the side of my body are in the way of getting close to my brother. I don't know what they are. I can't hold worms with them. Mom knows what they are. And Mother Eagle comes and says, it's time to lift you up. Puts the talon around the bird's body. And woo, out of the nest, holding the bird. Oh, this is fun. Wee! This is fun, Mommy! This is fun! Are we going to the big worm pile? And the Mother Eagle flies higher and higher and higher. Wee! This is fun! And let's go.
Oh.
And the little eaglet is tumbling and spinning, and the ground is getting closer. Oh my God! And you're just about to die from a splat. But then the talon once again wraps around its ribs, and mom has come, swooped down behind the whole time, following, and grabbed little eaglet, brought it back up to the nest for some more worms, and a nice sleep. The next day, not again, Mommy! I didn't like this yesterday. Couldn't you tell how bad it was? And let loose. And again, the little eaglet is tumbling through the sky. And the little wings, out of panic, stick out. And whew, suddenly everything got calm. Wait a minute. This is not so bad. Hold off, Mom. This is kind of fun. And the eaglet discovers these wings. Discovers his own freedom, actually, because this is cool. And as the eaglet learns to fly and swoop and spin and move freely through the air with these funny things that were rejected not so long ago, this little thought occurs, which will occur to all of us in our freedom. I was born for this.
Oh, beautiful. Mm-hmm.
That's the atonement. Is awakening to what you were meant for. You were not created as a mistake in any way. Those difficulties that you're having are just you rolling over onto your wings. You don't know how to use them yet. Your own freedom has what's been holding you back, but you're learning how to use it. The atonement is learning now how to use your freedom consistently for just freedom now. Well, let's have a quick circle. Take a deep breath, you little eaglets.
Tell us good storytelling.
I love that story.
You're all loved as that little eaglet is loved. We're all pure extensions in our perfect way. The big moment will be as you fly with your own thoughts, finding that it is your freedom you've been looking for. Not the freedom of somebody else, not some book, not some picture, not some movie star, not some ANO, you. Your particular freedom or your flight. This is for what you were made. It is yours to unfold and yours to ride on. The good news is, and this is really good news, okay? This flight we're talking about, it's not come from doing anything. It comes from learning how to be still, doing nothing. And finding how much power and presence you have with nothing. See, that's where the everything is. That's where spirit is. Present moment, completely unfettered. So this is what the atonement is. May you choose peace to find it. Thank you, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That was really beautiful.
Just being aware of it.
Cool.